Well, welcome to City Council tonight. Good to see everybody here. We're going to begin with a pledge and a prayer and Sandy has that for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather in service to our community. Grant us wisdom, integrity, and humility as we consider the matters before us today. Help us listen with respect, lead with compassion, and make decisions that promote the well-being of all of our residents. Bless our city, its leaders, and all who call it home. May our work today honor you and serve the common good. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Amanda. First item tonight is Hurricane Valley Fire Department. Nick, here we'll turn the time over to you. Tell us about all the fires going on.
Yes. Thanks for having me this. So just quick statistics. July, we had a total of 508 calls throughout the entire district. In the hurricane, we're out of station 43, we had 105 calls. 12 of those 105 calls were fire calls, 76 were medical, and 17 were other emergencies that were responding on. And then just to kind of report a little bit on fireworks and stuff that happened both the 4th and the 24th of July. On the 4th of July, throughout the entire district, we had one call that was fireworks related, and it was in Virgin, a pretty good sized fire. Someone from out of town, I think it was from California, if I remember right, bought fireworks in Malapa, brought them up here, wasn't aware of the regulations, and set them off, started the fire. Interesting thing about that is he did receive a citation, even though he had a paper that he said he got from the people that he bought the fireworks from and said that he could light fireworks any way he wanted to. So, that was his excuse. But and then on the 24th, we didn't have any calls to respond to. Business as usual, we do have a few people out on wildland fires right now. We didn't send one, the most recent one was in Nosh. We don't have anybody on that, but we do have three separate crews out on different fires throughout the United States. Anyone has any questions for me?
Questions for Nick?
Going? Kind of business as usual for us. This is kind of our busy season right now.
I was just really shocked when looking out upon the valley. I didn't see a single firework or didn't hear. My dog absolutely loved it. The rest of us were kind of bored. But
yeah,
no, it was very interesting that no one was like, I'm just going to do it. So very few people.
I think with all those big fires that were going on, that got people's attention, and that made a difference, I think. So. Okay, well, thanks. Unless there's somebody else got comments.
Yes. Ask a question.
Yes.
A couple of meetings ago, one of your fellow firefighters came to the meeting and talked about developing an ordinance and developing a map showing high-risk areas for the city and so forth. I prepared an ordinance, sent it over for him to review, and he said he thought it looked good, but then suggested we get together at some point, him, staff, to identify areas in the city that might be subject to higher risk.
Okay.
So we're ready to do that anytime he's got time available. So I can't remember his name.
Dave Harmon.
Right.
Dave, yeah. So he is one of the individuals who's out on wildland fires. But
okay.
I'll let him know and we'll get something arranged.
I know we have to have an ordinance done by the end of the year, but
right.
I did it a bit early. Well, not early, but
no, that's right on time. That's great. So,
anyway, when he gets back, maybe if he has a second, have him give me a call. We can
Thanks, Nick. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. If there's not any discussion, I'll entertain a single motion for.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, including declarations of conflict of interest, agenda, meeting minutes from June 1st, 2026, and checks and invoices in the amount of $654,599.33.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Aaron? Okay, first item on the agenda tonight is consideration and possible action to approve the retirement increase of 1.25% to public safety tier 2 employees. You going to explain that?
Yeah. Tier 2 public safety increases, like I said, about 2 years ago we did that, and it was actually, at the time we did the resolution, it was good for a year, but nothing changed in the numbers, and so we just left it like it is. Now it's gone up from, well, a total increase of 1.25% to, so the pickup that the city needs to decide if they're going to pick it up is 5.98%. Affects our tier 2 employees, which is Gino Perez, David Dickinson, and Shane Bamber. Those are tier 2 public safety. It's up to you to decide. We're actually, they got us the information a little bit late, so we can't collect that for the Utah retirement system until you guys approve it. It shows in the minutes. And that's what you're doing tonight, is approving the increase for an operating increase. You could technically take it all away and they could absorb it themselves, or you could leave it like it is. It's not a huge amount, dollar amount per employee, but you do have to take action.
This is something that most cities do for all of their public safety.
What we'll do is it'll be set up so if the numbers don't change, we'll continue to do it, assuming that you guys approve it tonight. Anytime it does increase, it will come back to you guys for. And Christy's got it on her reminder list to get the information from the retirement system so that, like, this first pay period for the public safety, they're going to absorb it themselves, so it'll be taken out of your check. And I would doubt they probably even notice it's not too much, but going forward, if you guys want to, the city picks it up. If not, we'll let them know.
Comments or discussion?
Where does the funding come for if we approve it?
It's in the building of the budget. It's there. We have the budget in the salary and wages lines in all the budget lines.
It comes out of the general.
Police specifically, it's the general fund.
General fund, yeah.
And it would. It's a minimal amount, so it's not going to be a problem. Just whether, or you got to make a decision. Right.
No other comments?
Is this is the way that we give our pay for our retirement pretty in line with the county and the city?
It's with everybody. It's the same throughout the state. It's what.
No. I mean, what we're. We're reimbursing.
We don't reimburse. This just goes in. Every city has to determine whether they're going to absorb that cost or pass on the employee. Most all cities do. And it only is for public safety. It's not for the public works or administration or anything like that. And it's only tier 2 employees, which you say there's only 3 of them. So that's 2-1.
Any other comments? I'll entertain a motion then.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve a retirement increase of 1.25%. Public safety tier 2 employees.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. This is a roll call, Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
And John?
Yes.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is consideration and possible action to approve an interlocal agreement between Washington County and the City of Wilmington funding lighting on a portion of the Zion Corridor Trail. Derek, you want to take that and explain what's going on there?
Yeah, so you're familiar, all of you are familiar with phase one. The 8-foot block wall was something we had to approve going to provide visual block for Tyson's Finlow and Boat. So that's why the 8-foot wall. So it's created a darkened area where kids are starting to migrate and there are things starting to happen there. And because of potential safety problems, we went to Leslie Fonger and asked her if there was any money in the existing funding, the trail funding, to put lights in there. And she said there wasn't, that there was other monies available, and she was able to go through the tourist revenue tax that's charged by the county, and was able to get that approved through the county commissioners for just under $36,000, which will provide lighting. And I don't know if that plan showed how the light is going to be, but you can tell where it's going to be just within that 8-foot block wall area.
Looks like it extends beyond it.
No.
Yeah, it looks like it goes up further towards the
it
east.
Does go clear to
goes almost right to the end where the
project's starting on.
It seemed like it was almost 600 feet.
Yeah. So you can see the lights there, they're the little pole things with the...
I didn't bring the glasses, so I can't see anything, that's why I'm just taking a guess at this point. But anyway, it's I don't want to say it's free money, but it's money that they had that they gave the city to move forward with the project if you guys approve accepting the money. And the shake rock will do it as an amendment to the phase one, and then we'll be coming back at least one more time for the same thing with the second phase, which will go from Donkey Hollow underneath the Old Hall Road and up to 17th under the block culvert. It's going to go under the road, and there's a couple of dark spots there, but we'll try to address it through that same tax revenue. So
we'll just take over future maintenance of it.
Unfortunately, yeah.
The whole trail in the city of Laverkin is going to be our responsibility.
Trail and lights.
Yeah, every
aspect of it.
Yeah.
Those low lights, it seems like those would be a prime target for vandalism. Are you concerned about that?
These are ones that, according to Interstate Rock, that's been used and they put in over St. George, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, anything we put up can lead to vandalism, and it just depends on how much you want to beat things up. So I really can't answer that question. I'm just not sure. We bought some lights that are supposed to be vandalism proof over at the Crescent Park, and they lasted about a month. So
yeah, where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. These lights, I looked them up, they're like $520 a piece. I think this is a lot of money to spend, but I guess it's not really our money to spend it. But why didn't they go with solar? Is my question. Like, that seems like it would cut the price by a whole lot.
Well, there's already power running up there because, you know, it's the signs when you come down through, there's flashing signs there. And they did run conduit, electrical conduit, in the hopes this project would go through. So there was already a lot of preparation with the hope that we'd be able to convince them to go this direction, which fortunately they did and stuff. And so, I mean, I'm not a hiker, I'm not a biker, I'll never be on those trails other than to maintain them, so I don't know.
So when you say, has it been the homeowners that have seen kids or others congregating there, I mean, are they in favor of lights being put in?
At least the three that I've talked to, so Coxon and Bo brought it up, because at least they can hear them through the wall, and they're pretty active. Now, see, there's already a couple of holes in the block wall there, and then the neighbor gets to the east of them outside the 8-foot block wall within the 4-foot block wall. Seem to think that it's a good idea. We're going to be, you know, it'll be low level, low, very limited light, just enough to kind of give a little bit of light for people right there. It's more of a safety thing, I think, than anything else. But I don't know. I just don't see that as a big issue with what we're trying to do there, especially if we're going to try to do the same thing on the other side, especially with the culvert going underneath there. We definitely want to get that lit up. You know, we don't want any problems down in that kind of area. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the idea of lighting it up for people in the evening walking. It's a great idea.
Any other comments? Discussion? Entertain a motion then, whether to approve or not to approve.
I'll make the motion that we approve the interlocal agreement with Washington County and the City of Lavera in funding lighting on a portion of the Zion Corridor Trail as described in the map here.
Now, none of the funding is going to come from Lavera, it's all from the county.
All from the county.
Yeah.
They'll send it to us, we'll hire Intersect Rock, we'll do the project, we'll pay for it.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Bob? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Derek?
Yes.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is just a discussion item on the Placer AI. Kyle, do you want to take a minute?
They've talked to you before in the past. We haven't been real interested in doing what they do. What this company does is they track travel or people throughout the community, people that are coming here, yourself, anybody that has a cell phone. It's all handled through your cell phone, and they track it by any apps that you may open. So if there's someone that has a cell phone that doesn't have any apps on their smartphone, or if they have a flip phone, then they're not going to track. Probably not children that have those special ones. Maybe I don't know that much about that. But it seems, I'm pretty sure most adults have a cell phone, and most of those that have cell phones have some sort of an app, or whether it's Google Maps or whatever. What they do is they can tell based on just information that they get for that, because it tracks all over all those apps. And for instance, if wherever your phone sets from, say, 10 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning, 70% of the time, they're going to assume that that's where you live. And, you know, they tell, they showed me the information, they showed me some of the things they pulled up is, for instance, they track it when a cell phone comes into the city of Lurkin and how much time it takes for them to exit the town. So if they come in from the Hurricane side and their next ping is going out of the Lurkin side up in near Virgin and it's 10 or 15 minutes away, they figure they didn't stop anywhere. They put a geo grid around the, and this is stuff, they did very limited stuff, obviously. They don't want to give you too much information because they want you guys to buy it. It's very expensive. But they put a geo grid around the hot springs, and they said how many people with cell phones went to the hot springs. Some of the things that they can show me were, okay, where did those people go after they went to the hot springs? Their phone was there for 2 hours at the hot springs, and then the next thing it was Davis Market for 20 minutes or whatever, you know. But so they know that kind of stuff. The sales pitch on it is if you wanted to use it for recruiting businesses and stuff, one of the things is that the people that went to the hot springs, not only did it show where they come from throughout the whole United States, you know, Salt Lake and Las Vegas were the hot spots for most of those people, besides the people who live right in town. Besides showing you that, it shows where they stayed while they were down here using the same ideas wherever their phone was staying from late at night till early in the morning. Fortunately for us, the three hotels out there on the end were the places that were the highest places they stayed, but restaurants, for instance, a high percentage of people for whatever reason went to Applebee's, and it might have been when it was just opened. So if you take that information, you may not get an Applebee's coming into Lavercan, but you can go to a light kind of restaurant, maybe Chili's or something like that, and say a lot of people are coming here, but they're leaving town to go to Applebee's. Maybe you could put a Chili's in Lavercan. Don't know how realistic that is, but it just showed, and again, that's very limited on what you've got. This guy that showed you this, he wants to take 10 minutes in the city council and do a Zoom and show you guys the information. It's $15,000 a year. My concern is, you could get a lot of information, but my concern is it would be cool information to have, and I'd play around with it. We'd play around with it for a week, and maybe not use it again for a few months. It would take somebody to put some effort into going at it. Not that I couldn't do it, but it's probably going to be down my priority list. So, but that's the minimum amount. It's based on population. I think he didn't tell me exactly who was using it. I don't know, does the county use something like that?
The county has a software for tourism that would give you
this is
some of those same reports. I've had many interactions with these guys. And Washington City had used it for quite a while, and Hilldale paid a subscription, and Cedar City paid a subscription. I think the Southern Utah Economic Alliance is getting a subscription that will cover it.
Well, they, I don't know what the rules are. They wouldn't give me that information.
So
they act like we had to have our own. It's unlimited user.
Yeah.
You could all have access to it, but and you could do it for 1 year, and it'd be $15,000, and to me, it's a lot of money, and I just worry that I would, unless we got someone specifically lined up for it, to do it. Maybe one of you guys want to do that. I just
most of that information you can get from the hot springs themselves and from the hotels themselves and from the RV place. They're going to tell you who's coming and who's where they've been and all of that.
Probably.
Too.
I don't know. It's just new stuff. He's going to, I'll bet, call me first thing in the morning and find out when he's scheduled to do that.
The companies, a lot of those bigger companies would obviously already have access. Like when I've worked with some of these restaurateurs in different places, and I even had a place where I actually make me some of those things. Maps, and we showed that when we were working with her again on a few, and they already have that data. They already have it from place there, probably. But I think I'll find out. I think we might have access to this.
That'd be great. Maybe we don't have to do
anything. The subscription they were going to get would cover the whole county.
Okay. One of the things in where I've tried to recruit specific businesses, and this is just what we run up against. You go to some restaurant or something that's a chain or whatever, and I've talked with Kentucky Fried Chicken, I've talked to Chick-fil-A, I've actually talked to Wingers, just several of them trying to get that. First thing they say is, how big is LaVerga? 5,000 people. That's when they turn off. They don't even let me get to the point where there's 5 million people. I think realistically, right off the bat, you might get, I may be surprised, but most of the things are going to be independently owned type restaurants that I think could do very well here, but it's going to be like a Stagecoach or something like that. It's unlikely that Wayne's or Denny's or whoever is going to come into LaVerga, and maybe I'm selling it short, but it's just, they look at LaVerga and there's only 5,000 people and they just don't feel like we're there yet. But we do get some people because now we're as close and the traffic that's going through there, they look at it a little differently, but anyway.
That's why Hurricane's done so well lately with all those new restaurants is because of this type of data.
Okay.
And and it helps a business. I had a question from Mountain Mike's Pizza. Where are people coming from to my restaurant? Like he wanted to know where to put his marketing dollars. And so these guys made me a spreadsheet for Mountain Mike's, and I was able to show him where his, and it was quite different than he thought. He was able to focus on different marketing opportunities to focus on people that. So it's pretty cool software.
So you already have
this help when we start to develop up top. I mean, there'll be a need for some commercial business up there, and I know that's a ways away, but it seemed like when we do start to grow a little bit, there may be some interest in,
could be.
Especially on the way design.
Most people come from Las Vegas area and Southern California and Salt Lake. That's where these guys tell us most of the people that are visiting Zion National Park and the hotels and stuff in LaVerga those are the hot spots. And the stadium has known that for years. And that's where they put all their Mighty Five information, I think, the Denver area. And, you know, when they started that campaign, those were the places that they hid. But you guys can decide. It's the money that would be, it's not in the budget right now, but if you, you know, I'm sure that they're $15,000, and maybe this is something that's not right now, but maybe, like John said, maybe it's a year from now or 2 years from now that we get back with them. But he does want to, and you don't have to. I told him.
And this wouldn't need to come out of like, general fund or anything. It would be like RAP tax or.
You can take it out. RAP tax to qualify for it. Tourism, you know, transit room tax to qualify for it. There's a number of places, but those are all in the general fund anyway. So.
Yes. You should do it because you'll throw your cell phone away.
I've had my location off for 2 months and it's been great. I've gotten less spam calls. I've gotten.
We did it on the conference center, and so we knew what the numbers were for the conference. And they were spot on, and they showed like what restaurants they went to, where they came from. Like, how did they know that these guys came from Salt Lake?
You're already getting that information from the county?
I got it from them. I got a demo.
Oh.
But the county, there's an organization, Southern Utah Economic Alliance, and they're. I know they're in negotiations with these guys to do a whole county-wide subscription.
If they're going to do that, let's save our $15,000 and let the county pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's your call.
My experience has been if we don't have a plan of what we're going to do with that information, then we're going to spend money. And
right.
It's interesting, but we have to have a plan and a purpose, so I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah.
And maybe there needs to be.
And like John says, maybe in the future when we start developing up there and get some businesses interested in that, that might be.
Well, it's not if you want to listen to them for 10, 15 minutes. It's up to you folks. I mean,
yeah.
That's probably a time shift.
I personally
think it's kind of a. It's obviously it's already happening with their voter approval. There's a huge lawsuit with Home Depot right now because they were doing it before they were allowed to do it, and others. They were tracking you as soon as you got into the parking lot and how long you spent in Home Depot when the class action. But I don't know. This AI stuff is. It can get really scary because in the wrong hands. Like it can be. You know, there's actually. I think there's been a few. I don't know if it's, you know, just law enforcement. There's been a few people who've taken the AI information like this and stalked people and stuff. So it's definitely scary, and you have to have a plan. You know, like
exactly according to them, it's not tied. It's just tied to the phone. It's not tied to any. Now, this is according to them. This is their selling. But yeah, if you don't think they're listening to you. I've talked to a friend before just sitting in there and talking about, yeah, maybe I want to go to a football game, the Denver Broncos, and the next thing I know, I get a deal that pops up on my social media. You want Denver Bronco tickets?
Yep.
I've been talking to you in your office, and my phone starts talking about what we're talking about. I'm thinking, that's a little spooky.
Smartphone.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, honestly, you could probably Google the information and find out just as easy for free, so.
Well, that's just. If you want a demo, and he can, I've been talking with this guy for 2 years now. He's been wanting to do it, and I've told him no a couple of times. So
this is my opinion. I don't have a vote, but I'm thinking I don't think we're quite ready for it, even if we are at any time ready for it. But I think we can spend the $15,000.
I think we have places. Whoever Darren said, they got it for us.
Let's let them do it.
Don't tell them anything we want. Then they want us to help with the cost.
Yeah.
No matter how you guys are.
That's
how it
works.
Anyway.
That's accurate.
I agree. It's up to, you want to hear a presentation?
Doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I don't think it's easy to say no, but if it's just going to be a waste of time, kind of why bother you?
Yeah.
And I believe the conference here.
I agree wholeheartedly with Mike. I don't, if we had a plan that we could use the information to be able to facilitate the plan, it makes sense. I think that this is the cart before the horse. So that's my take.
You guys?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, tell him
that. Tell him we'll
he
wait.
Can call me in a year. Because he will anyway.
Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is discussion regarding the Zion Regional Collaborative. John, a minute.
So I sent some of the council members what I received from Mayor Spruill you know, what they want to do is they realize there's been some withdrawal on funding, but they do still want to keep the collaborative open and continue to share information. There may be some minimal cost to the city to host an event once every 2 years or something like that. But other than that, it's basically if you want to let me do it, it's my time. I can take any questions you might have about it. But the city has been on this body or its equivalent for, I don't know, 3-4 councils. I mean, this goes back to Ray Justice. Kyle, you've been on it.
When I started in 2009, I was...
The ZC3?
The ZC3 just started, and Laverkin was part of it. Originally, it was the ZC3, which was Virgin, Rockville, and Springdale.
And it's basically the, you know, the... what ended up being the trail up to Zion. And the corridor trail, and that was the initial item that they worked on, and they worked on it for some time, and it's become a reality, and they still continue to work on things with the Greater Zion, like the item I sent to you folks the other day, the bike paths, all of that continue to develop. It's just an open ear for the city. It's a collaborative effort with the other cities, just to listen and share information. I think the expense came in with trying to get somebody to coordinate it. And it was helpful for a time to have somebody do some of the background work. It saved some of the participants some of their own personal time. But other than that, now there's no cost involved. There may be in the future. I can't say, but I'm willing to represent the city's interest on the body.
The corridor or Crescent Park out there was put on there specifically because of the ZRC, I think it was still the ZC3 then, they did the, and then I know the scenic byway was done because of that, and we did that Crescent Park with grant money, and that was before there was a paid person to do it, just like what it looks like they're going back to.
Well, when we hear the other developments, you know, up top on Sheep Ridge paving and the underpasses and the development of the Gem Trail, you know, that comes through on and off, and we get updates on it continuously. And I can share that with this group. But that's what that body does generally.
Any other comments? I see no harm as far as us staying on there. I think that would be good information. We could share our information with them and keep those conversations going between the communities.
Yeah, I'd support that. Would we be able to, if we chose to do that, could we move that money that we were going to put in there into our trails?
We don't, that money is now, you know.
That was in last year's budget.
Oh, that was last year's budget. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's already money in the trails. And so on.
But that money was returned, so it went back to the city.
Yeah.
The city never paid that money out.
Yeah, so. Could we do a budget amendment if we chose to move that to the upgrade our trails?
You can always do a budget amendment.
Yeah. That's what I propose. Yeah. I can bring the first budget amendment and show that in there, and you guys can decide at that point.
Yeah, the budget could be amended any time.
Yeah. Any other comments? Scott, do you have anything?
No.
Mike?
That's
right.
No.
Well, John's okay.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, I'd continue.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to just bring it back for, I don't know if you need to vote on it, or just send a letter acknowledging that.
I think we're already part of the group, so we might as well just keep attending and share information. That concludes the business. Next is council mayor reports. I just, one thing to report on was the groundbreaking for the reuse project was yesterday. Scott's going to build it for us, so it went well and had the news media there. Darren was there as well, got his picture taken. So this is going to be good for the community to be able to maybe get a little cleaner water in the irrigation system. Eventually, over time, it'll get cleaner and cleaner, I think. So, and that will be, I think, the goal. And we'll be able to send the excess Virgin River water down to be treated so we can use it to develop with here in the community. So, anyway, Faye, why don't you start? Anything?
I don't have anything to report to the council.
Okay. Go on.
The mosquito abatement won't meet until August. The city council continues to work, or the planning and zoning continue to work on the general plan, and there's an issue on signage now. But they're pretty close on both items. I think there's going to be some time off for Brad and Kevin Smedley, so it may take a few more meetings for them to finalize that and bring it to us.
Okay. Amanda?
As far as the solid waste, there was an issue about a month and a half ago where a lot of people, and especially in Hurricane, I think there was a few in Leverick and other cans didn't get picked up. They lost 4 drivers in 1 weekend. They did not elaborate on how that happened, but they had to pull in drivers from other locations, and I think they got everything figured out now. But the meeting that was supposed to be scheduled for this Monday is now canceled, and we won't meet again until November. So that's all there is for that.
Okay.
Fire district, I don't think there was anything too special there, and the Ash Street Special Service District meeting was canceled last time, so not a lot to report.
Yeah. Micah?
I don't have a public safety one this time, but on the rec department, the rec department made a part-time hire, Michael Shirley. She's a long-time resident here, so she started already helping out the rec department. We had 13 youth from the Youth City Youth Council attend up there at Utah State. We had the largest youth council represented there. They had fun, learned a lot. The Princess Tea and Pageant are underway. I have a flyer on that if you have a daughter or granddaughter or someone that wants to try out for that. And then just a lot of things coming up with Peach Days. The royalty will have a float in there. We have a seed display that we do every year and get recognized for, and a few other things. And then Winterfest is, we're gearing up for that. If you'll plan on, if possible, I'm sure we kind of volunteer and help a little bit, take a shift, like a 2-hour shift during Winterfest to help with the information booth and that. But
are we going to be able to do fireworks at Winterfest?
Yes, we approved it. So hopefully. Well, we're supposed to have a super El Nino, right? With the big winter storm. So that's
the world. The fire department would be there for us, right?
I don't know if we could get away with canceling them both for the 4th and 24th and Winterfest. We may have a revolt.
And we've already approved the money for the fireworks.
So we've already spent it.
We have. It's already been bought. It's already done. We might as well burn it up.
Maybe we'll get a great big turnout because people will be anxious to see some fireworks there.
And there's not a lot to burn up on top of the hill anyway, is there? It's been burned so many times.
That's it.
Okay. Darren?
DTEC was canceled, but I did see on the news, there's probably many of you, that St. George got that big grant for the underpass there between the two exits, and so that's going to be a huge project, and I'm sure traffic will be affected, but it will be nice to connect that part of the city to both sides of the freeway.
Is that bid now, right away?
Yeah, it's out for bid now.
Is it?
And it'll link utilities as well as traffic and widen I-15 to be able to accommodate 3 lanes of traffic north and south. It'll be great when it's done. It's going to be painful while it's going on. So.
And you guys are going after it.
Yeah, we're.
It seems like traffic just getting worse and worse down here.
It's so bad. And then right after that one comes out, I realize that I-15 is going to expand between 15 and 20 as well. So you'll have a section between 6 and 8 and then 15 and 20. And then there's also passing lanes that are going on, or truck lanes going up the Black Ridge at the same time.
Oh, there are.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you think that taking 17 is going to be a better, there's also going to be construction on that going on at the same time as well. Mm-hmm. Should be a party for traffic.
Turning into Salt Lake, that just caused it. Road construction.
I was in Vegas this past week and it was terrible traffic. It's like, oh, this is why I like homes, but sounds like we're going to be mixing with them.
Is that it?
Yeah, oh, economic development. I was at a meeting last week with the new hospital, and they had everybody and their dog. I think they had all the lenders, the real estate people, the
where's
builders.
This going in at?
The one across from Walmart.
Okay.
In Hurricane. And so it's one step closer. So.
And that's a non.
Yeah, it's run by it's built by a group called the Co-Action Group, and then it's operated by a group called the something healthcare. They're out of Tennessee, and they run about 400 hospitals. So it's their claim is that it's part of the ownership is the doctors that work there, and so the decisions are made right there at the hospital, and so they're able to offer a lot more compassion, I guess, than a corporate making decisions is what their claim is.
Are they talking about any
Ovation Healthcare, isn't it?
Are they talking about any solid dates?
Well, the Hurricane's the issue, not them. They're ready to go tomorrow, but Hurricane has to. They have big power. They don't have the power out there, and the roads aren't built yet. So there's a lot of infrastructure that has to go in before they can start.
Okay. Kyle, anything else to report?
A couple things. That contract for the bridge over here, the fencing around the bridge, I talked to the guy at our DTAC meeting today from UDOT. The contractor has been awarded for 4 months. Apparently they're designing their own fencing to put up there, and that's what's held them back a little bit. So that seems to be what we hear quite often. Our IT people, Tech Legion, we gave them a 30-day notice, written notice to terminate our agreement, and that termination will be effective August 31st. We will be bringing you a contract from Computech, and they will hopefully be our new IT service people, and that will start September 1st. The reason we just weren't satisfied with what Tech Legion was doing for us, and there was a lot of things they promised us, that they would have somebody down here locally, and they never have. And this last, 2 weeks ago, they sent a bill down for $800 for travel expense, and we decided that that's a good enough reason to move on. I've talked with them, so anyway, they're aware. Computech is out of Salt Lake as well, but they have an office in St. George, and they work with Tocqueville, and Tocqueville has been really happy. So that contract, I would assume that we'd do it 1 year. It's with Fay right now for review, but we'll bring it to you at our next city council meeting. We have a mediation meeting with the two boys that vandalized our plant park. It's all taken care of and settled at this point. One of the boys, his grandmother gave $700 to the city, wrote a check, and he's got 20 service hours, but he's moving to Los Angeles or Southern California with his birth dad, so his service hours will happen down there, and they will track it and get it back to us. The other boy, the great-grandmother who's adopted the boy, so it's, I guess, his mom, but she was pretty emotional, maybe that was, never mind, but she said that she didn't have any money, she could make $15 a month payments, so we didn't get any money back from him. He's got a whole bunch of service hours, he'll be working with Mary to work that off. He informed me that it's hard for him to get up before noon, and he's homeschooled. I informed him that he probably will need to get up before noon, and he doesn't get a choice anyway. In the year, we're on a different side of discipline there, but we take this Saturday, get your swimsuits out, and Mary's going to have bar days 2 to 6. You guys can come out and play in the water. Shower in the water, go on this Saturday. And I put a paper there for you to vote for two names for the working group. Get that back to me, and then we'll figure out a name sometime in the next couple weeks. And I don't have anything else.
Okay, thank you. Last item on the agenda is citizens' comments. So, do you have any comments from the citizens? No comments? Okay, I guess we stand adjourned. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm going to borrow your pen.